As we were singing that song, "Our sins are many, His mercy are more," makes me think of the verse in Lamentations, "For the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His mercies come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Thank you for the invitation to participate in the service this morning. Elliot called me, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, Pastor Elliot, and asked if I would be open to bringing the message. It sounded like a good idea at the time, and it still seems like a good idea. And I just want to commend you as a church and the leadership of the church for providing your pastor some time off for a sabbatical. Pastor Elliot, as you know, works at Judson. He does counseling, and he's involved in ministry here. And the weight of ministry and the weight of counseling can weigh very, very heavily on the shoulders of people. And the fact that you as a church would surround your pastor with love and support to give him time off speaks to you as a congregation, and I commend you. I've been fortunate to know Elliot for over 40 years, and it's a privilege to be able to give him some reprieve. Now, they put me up for 3 weeks. I've preached 2 other occasions, and you've had me come back, so someone can call me if it doesn't go well today, and you can find someone else for tomorrow. For my 25th anniversary for my wife, Joan, and me, we had talked about the fact that we would like to go to Hawaii. And however, we're both conservative in our spending. We don't like to be away from home. And the cost of the trip was really, it exceeded what we were really looking to spend. And so, but it was something that we really wanted to do. And so it was kind of a Lord's blessings that I went to the mailbox and I pulled out the mail. And one of the envelopes was from her parents. And her parents had said that, "We just want to congratulate you on 25 years of marriage, and we would like to provide you with some resources for you to do something special." And it was certainly enough to get us over the edge to make a trip to go to Hawaii. So we went to Hawaii. And when we were there, one of the things that they had indicated that was something very special to do was to take what's called the Road to Hana. And the Road to Hana is going up this mountain about 25 miles around these curves with some very beautiful scenery. And as we were going up the mountain, and we were traveling on this narrow road with oncoming traffic for people coming down once they had reached the top, we listened to this audio that would tell you about all of the places on the Road to Hana. During the trip, though, it said that there's one thing that you want to avoid doing. You don't want to take the back road to Hana down the mountain. It is not an improved road. It's next to these very steep cliffs. And if you happen to get stuck or reach a problem or get a flat tire, it will cost you over $1,000 to have service come up and assist you. And so in my mind, I was thinking, those are too many things that are bothersome to me, too many fears that I don't want to encounter. And my wife, I'm a very cautious person, and my wife is probably even a little bit more cautious than I am. She said, "Let's do it. Let's go down the backside of Hana," because it said that the backside of Hana is filled with even more beautiful and spectacular views. And I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, well, if she's saying let's do it, let's do it. So we went down the back road to Hana, and we saw some of the most beautiful and majestic things that we would have never experienced if we did not get over, or I did not get over, that element of fear. I was reading a book a few years ago by Dr. David Jeremiah, and it says, "Where Do We Go From Here?" And the premise of the book talks about all of the stuff that is happening in our culture, that there is no sense of absolute truth in any way, shape, or form. And so, but when reading one of the sections of the book, one of the titles of one of the chapters was Stay Calm and Carry On. And Dr. Jeremiah referenced this verse. It said, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He's encouraging us through scripture to know that no matter what is going on in the lives around us, that this is one truth that we can fall on, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Dr. Jeremiah states that the Lord created our human imagination to be a powerful force. It can create beautiful visions of a desirable future, or it can conjure up worst-case scenarios in our minds. These dark products of the imagination can put us in a grip of fear, a place where God would never want us to go. As we look at the title of the message this morning, Facing Our Fears Through Faith, let us pray. Father God, we pray that the words that come through me would be words from you, that our focus would be on the scripture, Lord, and your truths. It's the only constant that we have in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for each person who came here today. And we just pray that collectively we would draw closer to you. Collectively we would support each other. Collectively we would know that when fears grip our lives, that you are present and you are walking alongside us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you're a person that likes outlines, fears are real. Facing our fears through the promises of God and supporting each other with our fears. It didn't require me to do a Google search to think of many things that grip people with fear. I've listed some here. People fear for their health. They fear of dying. They fear of losing someone they love. They fear of losing their job. People fear of not being saved. People fear of standing up for their beliefs and what they believe relative to the Word of God. Some people are fearful of spiders and snakes. Some people are fear of flying, loneliness. People are fearful of financial security. People are fearful at times of not being good enough. People fear of confined spaces. They fear of making a mistake. They fear of public speaking. Just think about how I'm feeling this morning. Their fear of not being forgiven. And people fear that someone is mad at them and they don't return their text in a timely manner. They fear of not getting married, and they fear of being married. They fear of being childless. They fear of being not being valued. They fear war, uncertainty. They fear of not being loved. They fear man. We fear heights. We fear lots of different things. You know, the fear of heights is a strange one. One of my most cherished childhood friends is here this morning, and he and I were painting. We had a small painting business many years ago when we were both teachers, and we received an opportunity to paint this three-story building in downtown Elgin. The height was more than the height of this ceiling, for sure. And up at the top, with all of the architecture, they wanted us to paint the detail. Well, I wasn't going to paint it. He was going to paint it. And to paint this detail 40, 45 feet in the air. And my friend Art said, Bill, you just hold the ladder. And we extended this 40-foot ladder, and he's up there with two or three buckets of paint, painting the detail. And I thought to myself, that would be something that I would never do. Now, he could do it. I would hold the ladder. But I thought, well, if he slips, do I catch him? What do I do? And I probably would move out of the way. But I thought that was something until I read recently that this guy, Alex Honnold, decided that he was going to scale this building, which is 101 stories. And so I'm reading this in the news, and he had successfully done it. So I thought, that's just not possible. So I went to YouTube, and I watched him climb. It took him around 2 hours or something. And I knew he made it to the top. And even though he made it to the top, I was nervous. I knew what the final score was, that he had made it, but I was still nervous. But, you know, this building here is 101 floors. It's 1,667 feet. And he did it without any life ropes or anything. He just scaled that building. And then he was standing on the top when I was watching the YouTube. And I was saying, get down from there. But I knew that he was down from there. I saw his interview. But there are many things, people, that we fear. And most of us are not concerned with scaling a tall building. But we do have fears that grip us. Fears that can drain our energy, fears that can impact our relationships, that can absorb our time and the like. Fear has been a part of our past, it's part of our future, and it certainly is a part of our present. But fears are real. Let's look at Mark 4, 35 through 41. And this particular context is Jesus is preaching and teaching to the masses, and they're by the Sea of Galilee. And after he's done teaching to the crowds, on that day when evening came, after a full day of preaching and teaching, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." And so after dismissing the crowd, they took him along and they got into this boat, and just as he was, and there were a few other boats that followed him. Now, from my study, what I found is that the Sea of Galilee is in these valleys, and it creates these wind tunnels that can stir up a lot of wind unexpectedly. And a fierce gale of wind developed, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up with water. You know, isn't it true in our own lives that sometimes there's so much water coming into the boat that we don't even feel we have the energy, the time, and the resources to bail it out? We all experience those times in our lives. And so they were there in the boat, water was coming in, it was filling up. And these weren't people that were ordinarily afraid by the sea. You know, the disciples, they were fishermen. You know, they had been out on the water all of the time. But this must have been quite a storm. And yet Jesus himself was in the stern. He was in the back of the boat. And Jesus was asleep on a cushion. And they woke him. And they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And when the wind died down and became perfectly calm, he said to them, first he calmed them, and then he rebuked them. And he said, "Why are you afraid? You've seen me perform miracles. I'm the one that said, let's get in the boat. Why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, this is a beautiful scene of Jesus's humanity and Jesus's power and divineness. The humanity was he was sleeping in the back of the boat. Okay, he was tired. He was human. He was like us. He needed rest. The divine power, the omnipotence of God is the fact that he spoke and the sea was calm. But whatever it was, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the disciples were afraid. Another passage of scripture indicating that fears are real. And guys, if the disciples could be fearful of the unknown and the uncertainties, we can certainly fall into that same category. And I know that we know that we do. This particular context is in the book of Luke, chapter 22. And now they arrested him. This was right before Jesus is going to be crucified on the cross. These were his final times. And they arrested him and led him away and brought him to a house of the high priest. But Peter was following in a distance. Peter wasn't walking right next to him. Peter said he would die for Jesus. Peter was one of the boldest, most faithful disciples who was a close, close friend of Christ, the Messiah. And he said, Lord, I will never leave you. I will never not walk along your side. I am with you for the entire way. But Peter decided that he was going to follow at a distance. Now, Peter gets a little bit of a bad rap for following at a distance, being fearful of man and what might happen to him, even death to him as well. The other disciples just fled. They got out of there completely. At least Peter kind of hung around a little bit. After they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat together, Peter was sitting among them. And a slave woman, seeing him as he sat in the firelight, and she was staring at him, and she said, this man was with him. This man was with Jesus as well, but he denied it. Peter denied it, saying, I don't know him, woman. You know, we get to the point in our lives where we're so fearful that we will compromise the truth. We will compromise our values in our lives. And a little later, another person saw him and said, You are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, some other man began to insist, saying, certainly this man was with the Christ, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you were talking about. This is what happens in our lives. And immediately, while he was speaking, a rooster crowed, and then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. What a blessing. The Lord knew that Peter was going to deny it. But when we sang earlier, his mercy is more. Isn't it awesome that we have a God that knows that we're going to fail, knows that we're going to be fearful, know that we have our shortcomings, but God's love and his grace is so strong that the Lord puts his arms around us in that matter. Again, I don't want you to be too hard on Peter. The other disciples fled, and at least Peter followed at a distance. But, you know, this goes way back before Peter. We look at Moses, who said Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Moses later said, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses himself was fearful because he was not adequate. And although God spared Moses' life, he had him raised in the Egyptian court, had planned all this out for him, but yet Moses was still fearful for what God had called him to do. Since the creation of time, after the fall of man, fears of all different shapes and sizes have dominated our human nature. Fears have the ability to paralyze us. Fears have the ability to steal our joy. Sometimes they're so gripping. I can only think in my life maybe of a half a dozen times where fear had gripped me to the point where it took 2 or 3 days or even a little longer for God to work through me to overcome them. Now, different people respond to fears in different ways. Some people go do things. Some people talk it through with others. I personally want to be left alone, and I go into a room and I just work through it, because fear can sometimes be so paralyzing that it affects you not only emotionally and spiritually, but physiologically. And a few years ago, when I was serving as an administrator at Cambridge Lakes Charter School, it was just a day or two before the holiday break, the Christmas break, and this dad, he came in because he wanted to pull his son out of school to take him to the Titanic Museum, which is in Kentucky. Never been there, would like to go there. And so he comes in. but the office called me because there was a court order. The parents were divorced. They only communicated through the courts, through the app. There was so much tension with the boy's mom and the boy's dad that they couldn't even text each other. Everything was done through an app, which was monitored by the court. And I looked at, I looked at the court order, and it did say on there that the father, if he gave so much notice, could take the kid on vacation. And the dad said, I gave her the notice. Here's a screenshot of what I put in the app. And so I let the kid go. And there were blizzard warnings for the next day, 60, 70 mile an hour winds all through Indiana. And I thought, boy, I don't even know if I would take the kid. The weather's going to be so treacherous. And I called the mom and say, hey, listen, I saw the information on the app, and I sent, you know, your son with his dad to the Titanic Museum. And she got furious with me. And she said, did you read the whole order? And I said, well, yeah, I looked through it. And she said, the order specifically says that he cannot take the child out of school for a vacation and remove him from school, but it had to be on normal vocation. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my, what if something happens to this kid in this blizzard? And I was just gripped by it. And it was right before Christmas and 2 or 3 days. And my wife is thinking, Bill, come out of this. He says, it's the parents. You know, sometimes it's their responsibility, but I took it on my own shoulders, and it was very challenging. But you know, that's what fear does to us. It grips us. And I prayed, and I would text the dad, did you make it to the first stop? And he probably thought I was psychotic, but the bottom line, he did get there. And then I called him Christmas Eve morning, and he was back in Elgin. And I felt such a relief. But you know, not all fears are bad. We want to stay away from a hot stove. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we also need to be fearful of the law. I probably will tell you this, and you can decide whether to have me back, but when I was 20 years old, I was arrested. Fortunately, I wasn't convicted, but sometimes when you're young, you do dumb things. But sometimes when you're older, you do dumb things too. We were getting ready to go out of town. It was in the evening. It was about 7 o'clock. I remember my son was about 7. My daughter was about 5. And I don't like to drive with a dirty vehicle. And so I went to Woodman's Car Wash, and I was going to get this car. My wife said, let's just go. I said, no, I'm going to get this car washed. Sure enough, I pull into Woodman's. If you've ever gotten your car washed at Woodman's, only one car can go in at a time, and it takes about 5-7 minutes. And I get there, and sure enough, there's 4 cars going through this curved entryway. And I thought, nope, I'm going to stick it out. And one car goes and pulls out, and the other car goes in there, and I'm waiting. I think we got to get out of here. Our kids are in the back. They're ready to watch TV. And Joan makes them drive at least for an hour before they could watch TV when they were young. And another car goes. And then another car goes. Finally, I get to the garage door, and it doesn't open. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I just wasted 20 minutes. And so I get to the garage door, and out comes this 16-year-old kid, and he says to me, hey, mister, the car wash is now closed, closes at 7 o'clock or whatever time it was. I said, what do you mean closed? I said, I've been in line for 20 minutes. I mean, and he goes, yeah, it's closed. I said, well, you should have put a cone out there, because I'm not going to stay in line, wait to get my car washed. And I was already agitated, which isn't a good sign. Finally, the 16-year-old kid said, hey, listen here, mister, I don't even work here. My friend sent me out here to tell you. And I said, well, listen, you go get your friend and you have him come out here, because I'm not leaving without getting my car washed. And we need to fear the law. And the kid came out who worked there and said, yeah, my friend's right, we're closed. I said, listen here, son. I said, if you don't open that door, I'm going to drive this car right through this garage door. And then I'm going to call the police and tell you what poor service that you had. And all I remember was my son in the back. He was 7 years old. He said, Dad, don't do it. I don't want you to go to jail. But I know that I've digressed, but some fears are healthy, and fear of the law. But other fears are very real. And our lack of trust in the promises of God can grip us. Fears are real, past, present, and future. We have to face our fears through the promises of God. Back to our anchor verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God is on our side. A childhood friend sent me this verse one time. He said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. We must face our fears through the promises of God. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. There is a reason there are so many verses in the Bible about fear and not being afraid. My daughter told me one time, depending on the version that you do, that there are roughly 365 verses in the Bible that talk to us about not fearing, about not being afraid. And for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to us? And also John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, but I give you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, some of my friends that came here to be here this morning all work in the field of education, and we see kids' lives with a very wide lens. And these kids are finding their contentment and their value through the media in a unbelievable manner. What they should look like, how they should talk, what is the definition of success, what clothes you should wear, how do you treat other people, all of these things that are just absorbing them. And then these kids, they try to emulate this, and they can't get to that. And so they get wrapped up in this fear and this anxiety in school systems, whether it be parochial, private, Christian, public, are working through this at a very, very high level. And I don't know what you've experienced relative to fear, but what you have experienced in the past or what you've experienced now or what you may experience in the future, but I do know that God loves you, he cares for you, and he wants you to cast all of your anxieties on him, because he does care for you. The same God who spoke and the world was formed is the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who sent Jesus to earth in the form of man to live a sinful life, die on the cross for our sins and be raised from the dead. The same God who made the lame to walk and the blind to see is the same God that loves you and can be trusted. This past weekend, I was in a small church in my hometown, and they sang this, and I was, as they were singing this old hymn, I thought, you know, I'm going to include that in the message. It was so pertinent. God was speaking to me to share it. And perhaps you know the hymn, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives, all fear is gone. There's a more contemporary song that just came to mind. I'm no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. It would be unlikely that there would be anyone in this auditorium or this church sanctuary who's not been gripped at some point with an element of fear, and how important it is to us to rely on the promises of God when that happens. And lastly, we must rely on each other and support each other with our fears through Christian community. Dr. Warren Anderson, I will be preaching here in a few weeks, and I read the information, and he said that his anchor verse was going to be this, but I thought I would share it as well. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. My footnote in my Bible on this verse says, believers need to be alert, they need to be sober, they need to be self-disciplined, encouraging and edifying each other. We have to have our antennas up to support one another. I have some friends that I can call on, and men in my life that I can rely on 24/7, 365, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what I've done, if I needed them, they would be there. I can call on your pastor. I can call on some of my friends here. It doesn't matter the circumstances. I know that I can have confidence that they would be there to support me. They don't just also tell me what I want to hear. As a good friend, as a good Christian, as someone who's helping someone, we don't tell people just what they want to hear. We tell them what they need to hear according to God's word, and we do it with a sense of trust and with a sense of confidentiality. Do you have people in your phone contacts who can call you when they're in a time of need, when they're gripped with fear, anxiety, or even depression? And the other question is, are you a person that you can also count on them to contact you and you contact them both? We need each other. We need the body of Christ. When fear strikes us and storms are rough, let us apply 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. God uses people in our lives to encourage us, to guide us, to counsel us. You know, the scriptures tell us to do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others more important than ourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So in closing, fears are real. Fears may be with you for a short time. Other fears may be with you for a long season. Some fears are a result of reality, while some fears manifest in the imagination of our minds with no logical path. At the end of the day, fears can grip us. Fears can impact our relationships. They can draw energy from us and stir up a variety of emotions that are not healthy. But behold, we have the promises of God. Even though the fears are real, all throughout Scripture we see that God is our strength and our refuge. So do not fear, do not be dismayed, as shared in the book of Isaiah earlier. For I am your God, I will strengthen you and I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And lastly, we have each other. As members of the body of Christ, we are to support each other. While we experience blessings, this world is a war zone. We face challenges with fear and anxiety. We need Christ-like relationships filled with trust and confidence and care. As Philippians tells us, let us not look out merely for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the promises that you have given us. We thank you that when we go through challenges in our lives, when we go through seasons in our lives of fear and anxiety that grip us, that we can turn to scriptures and we can look at all of your promises. We also, Lord, know that we can turn to each other as Christian friends and rely and help us to walk alongside us, Lord. And may we look for people to help, and may we look to receive help from others. We thank you for Solid Rock Church, Lord. And we're just grateful for the people here, that they would be used to further your kingdom and to use them in a way that influences the lives of others. We pray for Pastor Elliot, and we pray for Angie, and we pray that you give them a time of rest, a season to sharpen their axe, Lord, and to be away from the daily responsibilities, to retool them, to use them more effectively when they return to ministry. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.